Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, actually in Passion City Church today. And amazing day here in Atlanta. I hope you're on a fantastic day wherever the podcast finds you today, and it's so good to be back. You know that there's always a little bit of a lull in between our Passion Podcast from the end of one Passion conference era to the next, and this must mean A, that the semester is beginning, and B, that we're on our way to Passion 2015, and we're excited to be back with you guys today. So I hope this finds you doing incredible wherever you are. If you're a university student, you are on your way back to class probably next week. Some of you guys around the Atlanta, Georgia area, I know, are headed back to school. UGA, Georgia Tech, KSU, Auburn, you're all headed back to school next week. And then it starts to trickle out from there, but I hate to be the one to remind you, but this is that moment where you got to pack the car, head back, and you're probably even excited about it right now because you have no textbooks and no classes yet. But I hope summer was fantastic. I know some of you been around the world serving Jesus. Some of you been around the world studying. Some of you been at home working. Some of you been at home loving Jesus. And I just hope it's been a great summer for all of you. We've had an incredible year at Passion and Passion City Church. We started with two phenomenal gatherings, Brad, in Atlanta, and our first ever Passion gathering in Houston, Texas, and Houston came through big time.
Big time.
It was such incredible. Being in that Toyota Center, which I've been in there before for other events, but to be in there and see that place jammed out, sold out, students in Houston, Texas. And hardly anybody does a conference in Houston, Texas.
Right.
It was such a special time for all of us and such a powerful, powerful conference.
Yeah, especially coming off of Passion 2013 at the Dome. It's like, where are we going to go from here? We can't get the Dome. We need to do two to make as much room as we can. And we're like, what's it going to be like? What's it going to feel like? And just to know like all that God did in those two gatherings. I mean, it was stunning.
It really was powerful. And, you know, even in that, you know, to me, and it's not about the numbers, really. I mean, I think everybody knows us well enough to know we're not in the conference business. We're in the generation business, and we have a privilege to gather people. But it's not about how many people necessarily come through the door. But to think, even just to think that 40,000 university students, 18 to 25-year-olds, and their leaders were gathered together, digging into Scripture, digging into God's heart, digging into God's causes for the world, and believing Him for their generation. People keep saying, we need to pray for revival. We need to pray for revival. And I get that, really. But we might be living in revival. Yeah. We might be living in some of the most amazing times of the church in history. Because I can't think of anybody else that's telling me they had 40,000 18 to 25-year-olds want to come and really be with God, seriously, you know, and offer their lives up to Him in a way that these students are doing, and to join Him in what He's doing. And that was just the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It was just the beginning of the year. We did release an album out of both of those gatherings called Passion Take It All. So the songs are now circling the globe, but then we literally circled the globe. We left Atlanta, Georgia, and we were headed east.
Yeah.
And we came home from the west, meaning we went around the world.
Yeah, we went to, started in Abu Dhabi. And, I mean, come on, Passion Abu Dhabi, how awesome does that sound?
Yeah, a lot of people are going Abu Dhabi. That sounds cool, but I don't know where Abu Dhabi is. And that's in the United Arab Emirates, which is one of the Gulf states.
That was one of my favorite moments on tour, Louis, in all my years traveling with you and with Passion. I mean, to be in the middle of that complex in Abu Dhabi where so many military people come with several thousand people in the Emirates, and then you got up on stage and wanted to thank people.
I wanted to thank people. But and this podcast may go around the world, so we'll choose all of our words carefully here. But I also had the opportunity to thank people. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah.
But we were going to do an event in Dubai. I think everybody knew about that. We talked about it, asked people to pray for us. That event got canceled and temporarily and almost permanently, and we were really brokenhearted because we had an opportunity to talk about Jesus in one of the Gulf states. I mean, when you're in Dubai, you're looking across a body of water at Iran. and at Iraq. I mean, you are in a part of the world that you hear about in the news a lot, but you're sitting there thinking, man, we are here carrying the gospel and the story mm-hmm. of Jesus. And the event in Dubai got canceled temporarily, and our event in UAE almost got canceled permanently, but God made a way. We really believe and saw that God made a way. We ended up in the capital city of UAE, Abu Dhabi, at the Officers Club, which is kind of a hotel conference center complex for the military there. And that seems like an odd place to have a worship event for Jesus in the middle of the Officers Club in the capital city of Abu Dhabi. We were in the shadow of the second largest mosque in the world.
Right.
And what a powerful night. And to open the night, I had the opportunity of thanking the royal family and all the leaders of the UAE. And they were all sheikhs, and His Royal Highness this one, and His Royal Highness that one, and the chief this, and the chief of that, and the Supreme Council of this, and the Supreme Council of that. And I still have the index card, because I couldn't, and these people have beautiful names and very long names and titles, and I couldn't memorize all of it. And I still have that card, and I will carry it with me for the rest of my life, because like you and like Jonathan, our team, all of us that were there, it just was a miracle moment of being able to stand in that place and to sing the songs of faith. And I didn't really know till it was all over that I really kind of was on thin ice and even having the privilege of proclaiming the gospel. That doesn't happen openly like it happened that night, and I had to sort of be very, very careful about the way that I presented the gospel even there. But we lifted up Jesus, and we lifted up salvation. We lifted up the work that Jesus has done for us to provide a grace that freely makes us the sons and daughters of God. And it's a special moment. I don't know if we'll be back. I hope we will. But it's one of those moments that you just dream about and you are grateful for.
And singing the song White Flag and the words, "We lift the cross, lift it high," has never been so powerful in my life. And to, I mean, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, we got on a plane from there and flew to India, which was a highlight for me because I'd never been in the country of India. India's claiming right now they're the largest country in the world, unofficially. They're saying still officially on the books it's China, but we believe we've passed them, and as soon as the next head count comes in, we're going to be bigger. But we were in the capital city of Delhi. We were also in a beautiful gathering we did in Hyderabad, about 14,000 people outdoors on a Saturday night just going for it. And then we went to Delhi the next night on Sunday night, and about 8,000 or 9,000, mostly university-age young people in this gymnasium.
Sold out, jam-packed.
Sold out, crazy atmosphere. People were just losing their minds over the opportunity to worship Jesus. And I hadn't seen this personally quite like we saw it in Delhi. Delhi's a very cosmopolitan city. It's their version of Washington, D.C. All the embassies of the world are there. There's a big national mall. There's the big Congress and the President's Palace and blah, blah, blah. But there are also thousands and thousands of gods in Delhi, India. And I remember when we were leaving to fly out of Delhi, going to the gate, our Delta flight or whatever flight we were on, it wasn't Delta, but whatever flight we were on, normal airport, international airport, gate, 34, and there's the duty-free shop right next door. In the middle of the concourse was a giant idol.
Yep.
Like 15 feet tall idol. And every family that came by there stopped and got their picture made with that idol. And so we're flying out watching people thinking somehow this thing, this constructed thing in this concourse is going to bring blessing to our future and to our lives and to our family. So to go into a city like Delhi and to know that Christianity is not the predominant faith by a long shot, and to be able to fan the flame of the church and to fan the flame of this new generation and to be able to sing these songs of faith. And it's like everything else we've experienced around the world. It's a very homogenous church right now. And so as we're singing these great songs of faith, they're singing along, they're singing the same songs we're singing. And it just was a powerful and beautiful opportunity.
Yeah, Delhi, God's great dance floor at the end. They can dance. We need to get some videos, bring it back here, show our crew, show Passion 2015 Atlanta, Houston, because they can dance.
So Abu Dhabi, Delhi, Hyderabad. We're also in Manila, where we have great friends, and obviously some of the most amazing, crazy, beautiful-hearted people in the world are in the Philippines.
Two nights back-to-back.
Sold out a night on a Friday, added a night on Thursday. That was so great. I think on Thursday night, I'll never forget this, and I know this isn't a World Tour recap. Thanks for just hanging in there with us for a second, but I remember sharing the story of the prodigal father and the two sons, the one that wasted it all and the one that thought he was earning it all, and giving people at the end of that a chance to put their faith in Jesus. And looking out across this crowd of, I don't remember how many thousands of people were there, and seeing hundreds and hundreds of people raise their hands, 400 or 500 people, I thought I must have said the wrong thing. I didn't communicate well. I think I backed up and said, let me start over again. Can you all put your hands down? Let me say again what we're talking about here. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that you've put your faith in him as a savior, and you want to do that tonight, then I want you to raise your hand. And poof, the hundreds and hundreds of hands go back up. And those moments don't happen all the time in life, but something very precious happened on that Thursday night of those two gatherings we did. It was really special. We got to go to Singapore, which is a pretty happening place. That was very special for all of us. We had two stopovers in two of our favorite cities in the world, Hong Kong and Toronto. We had the longest day ever in life.
Hong Kong and Tokyo.
Yeah, we just jumped over to Toronto while we're in the middle of the world. Where did we go? Tokyo. Because it was the longest day in the world.
Right. It was April 1st. I think you left at like 5 a.m.
We left at 5 a.m. in Singapore. We spent 6 hours in Tokyo.
Right.
In the city, hanging around, had lunch, you know, saw some stuff. Then took a flight to Honolulu.
And got there at 8 a.m.
It was the same day. And we went to breakfast on the same day. David Crowder had a meal in Singapore at Subway. Then he went to Tokyo and had Subway for lunch. And then he went to Honolulu and had Subway for lunch. All on the same day. It was your wife's birthday.
It was her 30th birthday. Maybe I shouldn't have said that on the podcast.
And so she had the longest birthday. I kept texting her all day long, happy birthday. And 8 hours later, happy birthday again. And 10 hours later, happy birthday again. But we got to Honolulu and we had an event there that night, actually. We had an event that night. Yeah. Come on, man. This is what you call really serving God right here.
You were in Honolulu. Like, we don't feel bad.
People are like, oh, you were in Hawaii. Well, hello. You fly from Singapore to Tokyo to Hawaii, then do an event. You're like, okay, it was a long day. But what a great ending in Honolulu. And people say, oh, that's roughing it, you know. But man, the church has a lot of ground to cover in Honolulu and in all the Hawaiian islands. And to be able to see, I don't know, 5,000 people there or something like that gathered that night, or 6,000 people in this place. What a beautiful picture of the church. And so that was our spring.
Yep.
So coming off the heels of Atlanta, Houston, we got to take Passion around the world and see people gathering in the same name, around the same songs and the same heartbeat. And now we're working hard. Our team's working really hard. We don't have any time off, really, in the Passion rhythm, because we started immediately working on Passion Atlanta 1 and 2 this year, and Passion Houston coming up in February, and we're very excited about what God has for us.
Yeah, it's a big world, and we all get to be a part of it. It wasn't just a few people, but it's the Passion movement. It's not an event. It's not a conference, but it's a movement of people around the world, and that's why I just can't wait to get back to Phillips Arena and the Toyota Center.
Yeah, if you haven't been a part of Passion, I'm glad you're on the podcast today, because it's really our goal isn't necessarily to get people through the door. It's really to see Jesus impact our lives in such a way that we get the big idea. And I love that our team this year, Brad, has come back around just celebrating the big idea. Because we're almost 17 years old or 18 years old as Passion Conferences. We did our first event in 1997, but we were Passion before that and spent a year planning before we got to there. And we started out being singularly about the fame and the renown of Jesus. And that's why we've never left our core, Isaiah 26:8, for your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. And we're still there today. And I love that our team has come around these last few months and rallied around our heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Because what I've learned in life is that you can start out with a very clear vision and then slowly have vision drift. It's not a gigantic left turn. It's not normally a huge hijack moment or something just falling off a cliff. It's just vision drift. And slowly over time, you don't leave the vision entirely, but you just lose the heartbeat of the centrality of what it is God has called you to do. And I love that our whole team this year is energized around the idea that God has called us to promote what we consider to be the big idea.
Yep.
And we've talked about that some this year. We talked about it at camp with our students a few weeks ago. And people are always going to say, man, that was a big talk for teenagers. And I'm like, that was a big talk for anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a big talk for me. My prayer that night, giving that message to 6,000 middle school and high school kids was, I said, God, this is a big talk for a little man. So help me by the power of Almighty God to give a big talk for being such a little person. But we believe in a big idea. I believe God believes in a big idea. And I believe that the big idea impacts our lives today. Wherever you're listening to the podcast today, it's possible that you, just like me, could settle into the routine of living for a smaller idea than the big idea. And if there's one thing that's more important than everything else, then I have to keep asking God to fan the flame of that one thing in my heart so that I make sure my life counts for what matters most. And we believe it, passion. And I believe that God believes in his heart today that that is his glory and that his glory is the big idea in life.
That's awesome.
I was reading again this doxology in Romans chapter 11, which is one of, you know, it's one of the greatest, I think, expressions that we could ever have in our mouths. And the first part of it is he's talked about the gospel. He's talked about how God has chosen to redeem and save us. And he's so moved by what the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write that when he gets to the end of this description of salvation, he's just like, whoa, I'm just going to have to praise God right now. And it says in the little human added text in between verse 32 and 33, doxology, meaning there's going to be a statement of praise now for what we've just heard about God. And this is what that statement is about God. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, exclamation point. So you cannot read this in a monotone. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And then here comes the capstone of the big idea. For from God and through God and to God are all things. Let's just let that settle again. For from God and through God and to God are all things. Now, if that's true, then these next lines at the end of verse 36 are the most appropriate lines that we could express back to God. So it says at the end, so to him be the glory forever. Amen. That's the big idea. The big idea is that God's created us and the world, that God has initiated everything that is. The big idea is that everything is sustained by God, that everything is carried out by God, that everything is fulfilled by God. And the big idea is that everything terminates with God. Everything ultimately ends back at its origination point, which is God. So God created it all. He sustains it all. It all ends and concludes in him. Therefore, to him be glory in it all. And that sounds like a simple statement, but when you start layering that over our lives, what it means is for a college student, I'm going back to class this year. Okay, so what's the big idea? Well, I'm going back to school for my junior year. Nope, that's not the big idea. That's an idea, but that's not the big idea. Well, I'm going to be on council in my sorority this year, and I've got leadership. That's a great idea, but that's not the big idea. I'm into my major courses, and I'm so excited to be really digging down into my major this year. That's a great idea. It's not the big idea. I'm, you know, working on this and that and other project at my school. That's a great idea. It's not the big idea. The big idea is that God has put us where he's put us, on a campus or in a job or Whatever your situation in life is, God has put you there on purpose. God put you there so that you could know him and that you could reflect him wherever it is that he put you today. God is giving you an education so that you can have a career in which you can glorify him. God is giving us opportunities so that we can influence people towards the fame of Jesus. Our school year is all about one thing, and it's all about bringing glory to God. And I hope that we can grab onto that this year, especially as we walk together towards Atlanta and Houston, because I don't want to walk through the door in Atlanta, Phillips Arena, and go, oh yeah, for your name and renown or the desire of my souls. I want to walk through the door in Atlanta going, this is my God.
Yeah.
This is my God. And this is what I have leaned toward. This is what I have leveraged toward. I understand that every high and every low God brought into my life were for his glory. I understand that everything I've accomplished, God did. Therefore, God should get the glory. I understand that the end of it all ends back to him. And when we see him, we are going to see how beautiful and amazing he is. And he's going to get the glory. So I want to start fleshing that out in my life right now. That's what passion's about. And all that sounds like great news, and all that's amen worthy, and all that's, yeah, I like that. But the reality for me today is that if God is God and I am not, if he gets all the glory because he deserves it, then that drives a stake at some point through the heart of me. And I say what John the Baptist said. I say, he must increase and I must decrease. He must become greater and I must become lesser, because it's not about me and I'm nobody's salvation. It's all about him, and he is the hope of humanity. This is passion, Brad. It's more than events. It's more than songs. It's more than CDs. It's more than filling up arenas. It's more than going on world tours. It's more than a brand. It's about a generation that has a shift of their heart and says, I want my life to count for the main thing, for the big idea. And that's what we're inviting you to in Atlanta, and that's what we're inviting you to in Houston, Texas this year. Welcome to Passion. Welcome to the big idea.
Whew, that was awesome. That was so good. I think for me, I'm going to need to listen to this two or three times to recenter my heart around that. It's so good.
Well, I hope that everybody will jump in with us, because we're not guaranteed Atlanta and Houston. We're not really guaranteed making it all the way back to the dorm. All of us are grieving the loss of a friend of ours who grew up in this city. Was a friend of mine, played football at Auburn. Life ended a few weeks ago and went to heaven. We're not guaranteed a lot, but we have today. And so I'm just trusting that people listen to this podcast today, that you'll know more than anything that this isn't about you getting to Passion. This is about you being a part of our movement. And our movement isn't our movement. We believe our movement is God's movement, and we believe we're on the same page with him, and that's a good page to be on. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever it is God puts in your hands today, look at it and say, God, how can I make this count for you? How can I make this count for you? And if we'll take that step by step, day by day, opportunity by opportunity, we'll get there. And ultimately, we'll all be celebrating that, I hope, in one big place together. So Atlanta 1 sold out last year in Atlanta. Thousands mm-hmm. of people couldn't get in, so we've added an Atlanta 2 this year. Our Atlanta 1, which is January 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, is already cooking like really strong. So people are going to need to jump on that fast. But right now, it's the lowest price. Right now, school starting. Right now is the time to get a promo pack. Right yeah. now is the time to start telling your friends. Right now is the time when you get back to your campus meeting to say, hey, we need to organize and get our passion plan going early. Right now is the time to get a hotel room if you want one. Right now is the time to think about all these things that college students don't normally think about, and all the information's at passionconferences.com. And we want to make sure everybody knows that that is on the horizon. And we're going to be talking in our next podcast about the Passion Take It All Tour, which is going to be in cities all across America. Everything you need to know today is at passionconferences.com. We've loved being with you guys today. Hope that you'll be back with us. We'll be back soon on the Passion Podcast.